You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Back, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast commentary on Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. As we chat this Thursday evening, there's not a lot of breaking news in the NBA. We're 1 week away from the draft, and I suspect a few days before that, probably early next week, is when the rumor will really get cranked up, not just with the draft itself, in which the Rockets have the 46th overall pick in the second round. They don't have their first rounder because that was traded to the Clippers last year as part of the Chris Paul deal. But in general, the draft serves as a starting point for negotiations, and not just picks, but really players across the association. Picks can certainly be thrown in, but sometimes conversations turn to players. We saw last year, draft week, Jimmy Butler traded to Minnesota, Dwight Howard traded to Charlotte. Then by the end of the month, you had Paul George switching teams, and the conversations were very heavy on draft night there. Chris Paul, of course, moving from the Clippers to the Rockets. So draft week, I expect some big deals to go down. And even if they don't, involving the Rockets or any of the big name free agents, most notably LeBron James and Paul George, which we know the Rockets have at least some degree of interest in, then certainly I think you could see the groundwork start to be laid for something that could happen by the end of the month. So on today's show, we are going to talk about the draft, which is 1 week away. We'll do that in the final segment. But to start off, we're going to go through what limited information we've learned this week in terms of the big names, LeBron James, Paul George, and also in the second segment, if the Rockets do not hear back positively on one of those top two, where things go for the Rockets from there. So we'll start with LeBron and Paul George, which really, it's a lot of nothing, and that's somewhat to be expected. Keep in mind, LeBron James, as secretive as it gets, we had to wait until July 11th of 2014. Of course, if he wants to go to the Rockets or many destinations, he would have to opt in to facilitate a trade like Chris Paul did last year, so he might learn a little earlier this year. But 4 years ago, he drug it out all the way to July 11th, and there were barely any leaks at all. The only leak there was came from Dan Gilbert, who was sloppy and let his plane get tracked when it went to visit LeBron in Miami, I think. Other than that, completely off the grid. We're just coming off an NBA Finals in which LeBron almost broke his hand in Game 1 punching a whiteboard after the J.R. Smith incident, and yet no one, even in the incredibly oversaturated media environment of the NBA Finals, had any clue that he was playing through a severe hand injury to his right hand until after the series was over. So there haven't been many leaks, and I think that's by design. LeBron has played 15 years in the NBA. He's been an icon on and off the floor. You don't have that level of success without learning how to play the game and, in terms of the media game, who he can and who he can't trust. So I think his group keeps a tight lid on things, and it's so tough to figure out because, as mentioned, if he wants to go to Houston or a number of other destinations that don't clearly have cap space, it actually behooves him to play down those destinations so that he eventually has the most leverage on Cleveland to force his way there. In some respects, he has to play up to some degree, or at least his camp, destinations with cap space, to be headlined by the Lakers, the Sixers, those types of teams, so that Cleveland really takes seriously the threat of losing him for nothing. At this point, it's simply a matter of what his priorities are, in my opinion. I think Houston, assuming that Cleveland would be amenable to a trade, and I do think there is potential third-team taker for Ryan Anderson out there if the Rockets attach future first-round picks, that would make it to where Cleveland's essentially getting Eric Gordon minor draft picks / prospect considerations and some sort of small contract from the third team. I think that's a better scenario for them than LeBron walking for nothing. So yes, I do think Houston is viable. It's just a matter of if LeBron wants to make the clear-cut best basketball decision, which would be joining a 65-win team in Houston that I presume would also be bringing back Chris Paul and Clint Capella, free agents, but by all indications, the Rockets on course as expected to bring back both of those along with the majority of the team that got to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals for losing to the Warriors. Rockets are the best basketball fit for him. The Lakers, there's the easy path to cap room. There's the limelight. There's the fact that his family has a home there and a certain degree of comfort. And the Lakers, let's be real, even if they can't get to Rockets or Warriors level this year, because even if they could theoretically get LeBron James and Paul George, there's two max slots, there's nowhere near the depth, in my opinion, to compete with the Warriors or Rockets this year. But give it a year, and they would be there, and perhaps with the Warriors as good as they are, maybe LeBron does take a longer-term view, or perhaps it's just a blend of a good basketball fit, not as good, great as Houston, but still very good, but ultimately a little more comfort for his family. And then, of course, you look at some of the Eastern situations. Philadelphia, maybe even Boston, which has some quality assets to potentially go to Cleveland. Or there's even staying with the Cavaliers, who, when he signed there in July 2014, LeBron said that, well, it was his intent to finish things out there. Or to some variation of that, I should say. And I should also note that it's possible that something comes off the grid. For example, in San Antonio, we know there's a tight relationship between LeBron James and Greg Popovich. Maybe there's a team we aren't even thinking about, but because of the opt-in and trade possibility, could come out of nowhere and suddenly be a viable destination. I think all of those things are possible. We need to keep a much more open mind than I think some in the media are doing, because there have not really been any rumors of substance, unless you're willing to go down the TMZ route. Yes, I've seen some of the comments allegedly made months ago, or stuff about his family, housing deals, schools, that sort of stuff. And my initial response would be, look, if you're citing months-old information or things like schools and houses, for someone of LeBron James's stature, that's not much of a tell at all. Secondly, the fact that LeBron cares so much about his legacy. We saw the SI column that he wrote to announce his decision to Cleveland 4 years ago and how well he kept that under wraps. The idea that he would do something that basic to tip his hand rather than for his own personal branding purposes, drawing out the suspense, it seems rather unlikely. Quite frankly, it reminds me a lot of draft day 2014 when the Miami Heat drafted Shabazz Napier late in the first round, a friend of LeBron's, a guy who he had tweeted about a few times during UConn's run to the title, and everyone on basketball Twitter trying to read the tea leaves just assumed that it was a done deal that LeBron was coming back, which was just absolutely silly. But that's what happens when you try and make every little report that comes out, especially when it comes to the TMZ stuff, the entertainment industry, the way away from basketball things, into a story. Many times there's not a story, but in the absence of news, we just have a lot of sites that are hungry for clicks, things get passed around, and before you know it, it feels like more news than it actually is because it gets repeated and aggregated so many times. The one piece of news that I would say that is legitimate this week was a report in the New York Times newsletter from Mark Stein, who, by the way, was out front with the Chris Paul to the Rockets story last June, saying that there was a growing belief around the league that Paul George could be persuaded to stay with the Thunder, which is fascinating on a couple of levels, or fascinating, I should say. First, we've discussed the Paul George to Houston possibility before. Well, certainly this is a team that's not Houston, so it would, in theory, knock your list down a peg. However, the more interesting thing to me about the Paul George and OKC thing is what it says about LeBron James and Los Angeles, which is that if LeBron James, in my opinion, were clearly set on the Lakers and those two max slots as referenced earlier, Paul George, who has been rumored to be interested in the Lakers for some time, an L.A. native, to me, he would be a slam dunk to L.A. if LeBron James were to go there. LeBron is the hard part. If he were to go, I think George goes in a heartbeat. And if there's growing momentum for George in a destination that's not L.A., then to me, it says pretty strongly that it's not some sort of covert operation behind the scenes between LeBron James and Paul George where they're just in lockstep, because that's not what this indicates at all. That's not to say that can't happen. That's not to say that they could not have a conversation later this month. That was something that Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reported could happen in, I believe he was on a TV show a week or so ago and said that was a conversation they would eventually have. But I think a lot of the rumors about LeBron James and the Lakers, most of them entertainment type things or offhand remarks on a podcast that get pulled out of context, to me, the cart is way out in front of the horse in those cases. As far as what I can tell with LeBron, there have not been many rumors of much substance. Another marquee reporter who knows the Lakers quite well, actually, is ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, and she was on the In the Key podcast today, and Her argument is that LeBron is not going to come play with a bunch of young guys. He said what he wants, and that's guys with high IQ who can shoot. And the Lakers have a lot of work to do to get there, and she's not believing it happens, meaning LeBron to the Lakers, until it happens. She thinks he sits back and takes his time. Now, there's a certain point at which the time becomes a disadvantage to the Rockets if he chooses to drag this into July, but I think between that, the Mark Stein report, you're seeing a lot of cold water from people who are very plugged in NBA circles that it's some sort of inevitability, because if you give any credence to rumors like, I don't know, real estate deals or alleged school decisions, and by the way, it's entirely possible that LeBron's wife and family could live in a different city than LeBron. He could go back and forth. They did that when he lived in Miami. But if you believe those types of rumors, then, quite frankly, I don't know what the holdup would be. I think you would move forward in terms of the plans with Paul George, recruiting around the league, and it's not to say that that can't possibly not be happening, but there are some pretty plugged-in reporters around the league this week who have not reported that at all, and the strong indications that people point to amongst any LeBron rumors, you see a lot with the Lakers, and to be fair, a lot of these Laker rumors, you have to keep in mind, it's a market that's great for the NBA, essentially the NBA's capital city. They're largely irrelevant right now after Chris Paul left the Clippers. The Lakers, the most storied franchise in the game, it's better for the sport and by extension everyone covering it if the Lakers are relevant. You have a lot of folks openly cheerleading it, starting with Stephen A. Smith, and now hold it against him because it is better for the league if the Lakers are relevant. But in terms of keeping it real, what is the actual news? What is LeBron actually thinking versus what is just entertainment hype? That's what I think we need to draw the line. And in my opinion, there's not much in the way of serious NBA newsbreakers that have suggested anything to say that LeBron is leaning or far down the tracks at all in terms of the Lakers or any other scenario for that matter. It feels very open-ended, and the types of people that are suggesting there's a lot of momentum, let's just say they have not broken a lot of stories in their time, and there's probably a reason for that. Now, as far as when things could actually start, I would say the draft. I led off talking about the importance of the draft as kind of an impetus for movement, not just with picks, but around the league. In this case, that's especially so because Cleveland has the number 8 overall pick. And the first thing you need to do, if you're the Rockets or any other team trying to get LeBron James, is make sure that he's open to leaving Cleveland. And what Cleveland does, the number 8 pick by next Thursday, is going to be very, very interesting. Because when you draft number 8, it is a valuable pick. But it's not like number 1 overall, say 4 years ago when the Cavaliers drafted Andrew Wiggins, but they knew they'd be able to trade him and ultimately did for Kevin Love if they were able to get LeBron James. At number 8, there's rarely a clear best player available in terms of value around the league. There are lots of variations in terms of what teams like, what the fit is. So the value of that pick at 8 is far more before the draft than it is after, because after, when you draft a player, it's like having driven a new car off the lot. So if Cleveland wants to make a deal to get LeBron more immediate help, they need to do it before the draft, because the odds are that pick is going, or whoever that pick becomes, the overall value as an asset is going to go down after it's made, because there are a lot of teams that may disagree with the assessment, or just simply not see a fit for whoever it is that Cleveland drafted at that spot. So my guess is that Cleveland is going to be feeling out behind the scenes. They may have already started doing that. LeBron James at his camp to get an indication. And my guess is that LeBron probably gives it to him. If he hasn't already, I'd say certainly by next Thursday. I think it's far different than 2010 when there was some bitterness on both sides. I think LeBron genuinely respects the organization, the fan base. And my guess is that whether we know about it or not, he does give them a heads up. And then we see by whether Cleveland keeps that pick or trades for immediate help if they feel that they have any opportunity to retain LeBron James. If they don't, I actually think the first real news could leak from the Cleveland side of the fence, from Cavs sources, because if they don't hear anything, then they're probably going to get a little skittish about losing LeBron James for nothing, and you may actually see them start to feel out teams around the league, maybe even the Rockets, about potential LeBron proposals so that before the end of the month, they can go back to LeBron and say, hey, here's a deal in which if you opt in, here's where you can go, and here's what we get. Does this work for you? I can't imagine the Cavaliers just openly accepting nothing and waiting for him to go. So my guess is either be it the Cavs trying to draw up a market, or maybe the Cavs responding if the Rockets or any other team feels like they have an avenue at LeBron and the Cavs either don't like what they're offering, maybe they want to leverage one team against another in the media. The point is, first, with making the draft pick or trading it, and secondly, in terms of potential trades that are better for the Cavs than LeBron walking for nothing, my guess is that the first real rumors leak from the Cavs side of the fence, team sources up there in Cleveland, and I think from there you can start to get a feel on what might be going on behind the scenes. I think that's probably the first domino to fall, because even for Paul George, I think there's a lot of waiting around going on. As I mentioned earlier, if LeBron were to go to the Lakers, my guess is that Paul George could be persuaded easily to follow him into that second max slot. Or if the Rockets didn't get LeBron James, then the Rockets would go after Paul George. But the Rockets clearly can't go after Paul George, even behind the scenes, until they have a no from LeBron. And no, I don't think that Paul George is going to feel insulted because he's a second priority for the Rockets or anybody else to the greatest player the game has ever seen. I'm pretty certain that he's understanding of how that whole dynamic works. So LeBron's the first domino, but before LeBron probably gives his indication, I think we might learn it, especially given how secretive LeBron is, from what the Cavaliers have to do with that draft pick. Do they keep it? Do they trade it? My guess is that come Monday or Tuesday, we have a little bit more intel when the rumor mill cranks up. That's what normally happens in past years, and that's going to be my guess when things get cranking this year as well. Now, besides LeBron, besides Paul George, because one of the questions I always get is, well, what if LeBron and Paul George say no? What's next? And I do believe that the Rockets are comfortable running it back, so to speak, bringing back Chris Paul, Clint Capella, Trevor Ariza, hopefully Luke Bamute and Gerald Green as well, although they don't have full bird rights on those guys, but I don't think the market is going to be especially huge for either. So the Rockets do realize they have a 65-win team. It was year one, the Chris Paul-James Harden partnership. I think all those guys want to go back, and the only reason they lost in seven games to the Warriors was a combination of Chris Paul's ill-timed hamstring injury, historic outlier of a shooting stretch, 0-for-27 throughout a large portion of Game 7, some just woeful and ridiculous officiating. You can pick your reason. It was a perfect storm of circumstances, and that's what it took to keep this Rockets team from winning a title this year. So no, I don't think the Rockets, if they don't get LeBron James or Paul George, are headed for some sort of radical reconstruction. They're comfortable, as they should be, with who's in that locker room. They will have, in all likelihood, the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about $5 million or so per year, but there's a good shot that that might be used to retain their own free agents. Now, you can hope that Luke Bamute and Gerald Green are open to the non-bird tenders that they're eligible for. We'll have to wait and see on that, and then maybe you can use the MLE on extra help, maybe another guard, maybe another 3-and-D type, a backup center, even if you want more flexibility than what Nene and Ryan Anderson can give you at the moment. Stay tuned. But by and large, the $5 million taxpayer MLE, it's not going to get you a huge contributor. If you get someone, you're looking at probably the eighth or ninth man off your bench, best case scenario. And the reason I think it's important to discuss that is I sense a lot of Rockets fans who I don't think are looking at the LeBron James and Paul George pursuits in the proper context. Yes, they are free agents to be, potentially, but the Rockets are not pursuing them as free agents. They are pursuing them as trade candidates, the same way they got Chris Paul last year to opt into the final year of their existing deal and, well, in LeBron's case, possibly extend with it. There is an option to extend and trade, but basically an opt-in to facilitate a leveraged trade. The likely outgoing package from Houston would be Eric Gordon plus in the LeBron scenario, because his salary is about $35 million. You have to find a home for Ryan Anderson. For Paul George, you wouldn't. But either way, Eric Gordon, draft picks, some quality young players, those are the likely ticket as far as where your package would start. And Eric Gordon is a really great piece, by the way. Still not even 30 years old. Great contract, but I'm certainly not trying to get rid of him. Just mentioning him as a likely candidate to go out because the deal has to make some sense for the other team. Even in a scenario like Cleveland, LeBron walking for nothing is better than a deal centered around bad contracts and just paying the luxury tax and all sorts of crazy fees for a bad basketball team. But trading is the way to go, because for the Rockets, it's the only way they can go. Because of the cap holds, they are already an above the cap team effectively based on what it's going to take to just to have the rights to keep Chris Paul, Clint Capella, etc. And then once you sign them to max or near max deals, whether they get the max or a little below, it really doesn't matter unless you're Tillman Fertitta or his personal accountant, because either way, the Rockets are going to be an above the cap team. So it's not like if LeBron James or Paul George doesn't work out that you just look down the free agent list and say, well, maybe this is who the Rockets target. Perhaps there's a opening somewhere, but I think in general you'd be looking for another opt-in and trade, because the reason you do an opt-in and trade, because you do it before free agency, it doesn't subject you to the hard cap, which would make it tough to get into luxury tax territory, which is what it would take to actually bring back the core of this 65-win team, like we were saying about. Even a sign-and-trade would hard cap you at the apron level, which is why it's unlikely to see the Rockets be big players in free agency. Firstly, they don't have cap room to outright sign guys, and even the sign-and-trades, if a team was agreeable, are pretty difficult. You'd probably be looking at an opt-in and trade the same way we've discussed for LeBron and Paul George, because that's the easy way to make it, the math work for the Rockets as an over-the-cap team, which they are for the foreseeable future. So the point I want to get to is this. For the Rockets, LeBron James and Paul George aren't effectively free agents. The reason that the Rockets are pursuing them entering free agency is because they had the most leverage to potentially force their teams to accept not peak value, which is difficult for the Rockets because as a good team, it's not like their draft picks are really that well regarded. Fortunately, they do have all their draft picks after this year to trade in potential deals, but it's not like those picks late in the first round are especially valuable. Rockets also don't have a ton of young prospects because they're focused on the here and now. It's a veteran-laden team because they're after going after a title for the foreseeable future. So for the Rockets, if you're going to get another star on top of James Harden and Chris Paul, the way to do it is via trade, but you probably need some help in terms of added leverage, because if a star were truly available on the open market, the odds are that some team in the other 29 around the NBA, or I guess 28, excluding the Rockets and whoever the trading team is, would be able to beat Houston's offer. And because LeBron James and Paul George have the ability to leave for zero compensation, then you can see a path to where an Eric Gordon plus draft picks plus filler contract scenario might work out between the teams being fearful of literally losing them for nothing and the players having the leverage to shoot down a lot of other destinations by saying, I just won't sign there. So that's why the Rockets are focused on, just as they were with Chris Paul last year, guys that can opt in. That's the easiest way to add on rather than tearing apart your team to get under the cap, especially in an era where salary cap room is so hard to come by and so few teams can take salaries. But this is not the only way to bring in a star. As I've mentioned before, I think if things don't work out with LeBron and George, you'll see the Rockets start to look more at 2019 free agents, the same way Oklahoma City got Paul George at a discounted deal. Now, it's not as bad as it looked at first glance because of what Victor Oladipo turned into in Indiana, but personally, I don't even think the Pacers expected what Oladipo turned into this year. I think they were pleasantly surprised. Bottom line is, from an asset standpoint, Oladipo and Sabonis, with what they were valued at in June 2017, the Pacers did not get a big deal because Paul George made it clear he worked in the media, through his camp, I should say, to let it be clear he had no interest in re-signing with the Pacers, and he picked another team, in the case of the Lakers, to make it clear that teams shouldn't even bother trading for him because, well, there's a good shot that he wouldn't re-sign there either. So it artificially depressed the market to the point where a team like Oklahoma City could sweep in and get that deal done. Maybe that's where the Rockets go from here with a guy who's going to be a free agent this time next year. Jimmy Butler, I've mentioned in the past, is a possibility who has Houston roots. There's some uncertain times in Minnesota, a little bit of instability in terms of the management. We've heard of unhappiness with Karl Anthony Towns. And, of course, Butler is a free agent next summer who would have a lot of interest. Maybe if he puts the screws publicly on the organization, then he can sort of drive down his market to where an Eric Gordon plus draft picks package seems better for Minnesota than the risk of him walking for zero compensation next summer, the same way the Oklahoma City package was preferable for Indiana going into this year. It could also be someone else, but I think the important thing to take out of this, for the Rockets, it's about trading. It's not about free agents. It just happens to be that LeBron James and Paul George, them being potential free agents, gives the Rockets the most leverage to get a trade on favorable terms for Houston without having to radically deconstruct a 65-win team. Because the goal for the Rockets is to be able to add on to this incredible team and supporting cast that you already have. And free agency, especially with cap room at a premium, generally means tearing apart your team. That's not what the Rockets are interested in doing. So trade is the route to go. It just so happens that the free agencies of LeBron James, or potential free agencies of LeBron and Paul George, give the Rockets, I should say, a potential leverage play to where they could get a deal on their terms. But that's not the only way, and if it doesn't work out, I don't think you're going to see the Rockets all of a sudden looking to the likes of Boogie Cousins or any other star free agent this summer that could potentially be a bad fit just because they're a free agent. No, I think you'll see the Rockets look at the 2019 class for guys who might could be a fit there, and we'll start to see that could start next week too. That's, for example, last year, draft week was all about rumors, not with who was going to be a free agent that year, but we heard Jimmy Butler and Paul George, who were free agents a year from then. Those situations were what really got moving because of their teams. Well, I take it back. Butler actually had 2 years removed. He was just a weird fit in Chicago with the Bulls effectively going into tank mode. But if you're the Rockets, if you're a fan and you're trying to predict what Daryl Morey's going to do, don't think free agency. Think trade. Now, it's possible that certain guys can use free agency as a means to an end to make a trade more beneficial. But for the Rockets, it's not like they're just automatically focused on free agents. They want to trade because that's the best way that you can add to the current team without making the radical changes that it would take to get a deal done, either going under the cap or even a sign and trade, which would hard cap you at the apron and make it very difficult to bring back all the pieces that they want to bring back. Now, final segment. We ran a little long in the first two, so I'll make this quick. But let's talk draft because the Rockets do have the number 46 pick next week. It's in the second round. Do I expect them to get a major difference maker immediately? No. For a team that won 65 games, it's going to be tough for anyone to crack the rotation, let alone a second-round pick. And even if you strike it rich the way they did a few years ago with Chandler Parsons, those are the exceptions to the rule. Most guys available in that stage, they don't hit. So it's important to keep the expectations low. Now, Daryl Morey, Gerson Roses, their entire staff, they do a great job of scouting, so I do think the Rockets are better prepared than most teams to potentially find a diamond in the rough. But even so, it's not easy. So I think it's important to keep expectations in check. You're probably looking at someone who is going to be with the D-League squad, barring major injuries or just a stunning showing in summer league and or training camp. So you're probably not looking at a difference maker for this coming year. That said, even though you're not going to look at the current roster per se and say, well, we need to slide someone in because it's not going to work like that, you can look, even amongst the young players, the pipeline, and see some needs. And to me, for the Rockets, it's about guards. I think you feel pretty good about the stable of big men you have. Of course, it could all change if you strike a major deal this summer. We'll see. But Isaiah Hartenstein offensively, Janu Anuaku defensively, Zhou Qi out of China, who's a bit of a hybrid, but so athletic, so much wingspan there. I think you feel pretty good about options at the four and especially the five, in so many different areas. Now, if there's a best player available that's a big man, yes, I think Daryl Morey would take it. I think Morey is a big believer in BPA, best player available, and he's not going to take a worse player, especially in the second round, for a position fit. I understand that. So nothing's off the table. But if things are close, then yes, I think you would see the Rockets potentially err on the side of a little more balance in the pipeline. Because between Anuaku, Hartenstein, and Zhou Qi, there are some intriguing options up front. Whereas in the backcourt, you don't really have a lot of depth there, especially to give up a lot of it in the Chris Paul trade last summer. And we saw this past year how difficult it was behind Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and James Harden to find a fourth guard that they could trust. It's not that they didn't try to go after those guys. We saw them pursue Jameer Nelson not once but twice during the year. It's just tough to get someone to accept that role because when all three of Paul, Gordon, and Harden are healthy, all 96 backcourt minutes are spoken for. But if one of those gets hurt, as we saw in the playoffs, all of a sudden that depth can get exposed. Now, you could also argue that 3 and D, more shooting, more defense, that's always necessary on the wings, especially in this system. But in my opinion, 3-and-D guys are a little bit easier to find off the grid, so to speak, in terms of maybe free agents after the draft. I think playmaking is slightly more of a premium, which is why if it's between a 3-and-D wing and a guard, my guess is that guard would be a slightly bigger need, especially when you consider that you can find 3-and-D types a little easier. There's also a little bit more randomness to their projections, in my opinion. But the bottom line is, if you can't get a veteran guard to take that spot because there are no guaranteed minutes, but we all know that you do need at least a fourth guard you can trust, then maybe you try and develop one in-house. I'm not going to begin to guess who that could be, because it's pointless to talk specific players that deep in the draft, because they're A, are so many possibilities, and B, the teams in front of you can go so many different ways. But I would just say, looking at potential second rounders, if you want to talk specific names to look into, Javon Carter out of West Virginia, Grayson Allen out of Duke, Malik Newman out of Kansas, Keenan Evans out of Texas Tech, Tony Carr out of Penn State. But really, you can look at any second round guard. It's just going to be a matter of who the Rockets see as fits, who's worked out with them, who they see working well within the system. Again, it doesn't have to be a guard. If there's a 3-and-D type they like, or even a big, then if they're clearly the best player available, that's what Daryl Morey is going to do. And especially that deep in the draft, that's the smart play. However, if it's close, my guess is that they see this as an opportunity to sort of build back the pipeline to more balance. Because I do think that if they don't swing any major deals, they've got some bodies up front that they feel in the next year or two can step up. I don't know how they feel about their backcourt options, which have been sort of a revolving door. We've also seen the veterans come through, Bobby Brown, Aaron Jackson, et cetera, et cetera. In a perfect world, you'd have another younger player that you could trust, maybe not this coming season, but in the years ahead, to slowly take on more minutes, especially as Chris Paul starts to age more and you may need to reduce his minutes a smidge here or there to keep him effective late into his 30s. So to me, in a perfect world, you could get a guard in that 46th spot that you could start grooming down the line to absorb a few of those minutes in the years ahead. Probably not this year on a 65-win team that has eyes on the title, but at least you can start the process. That's my guess today as to where, in a perfect world, they would address at pick 46. But of course, it's not a perfect world, and if there's a clear BPA somewhere else, then that certainly would not surprise me with Daryl Morey as the GM. I know I'm hedging, but folks, it's Daryl Morey. You can't ever discount the value of BPA. Anyway, we've gone long enough for today, especially in the absence of any real rumors of substance, so I will wrap it there. As always, thanks to you guys for listening. You want more content from me in the interim, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Let's go to an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, a Facebook account at facebook.com/lockedonrockets, a website at lockedonrockets.com, all places you can access our content. Ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, inquire about how to advertise and reach our growing audience. Our off-season numbers are great. Thanks to you guys for that, because, well, there's so much curiosity, and with LeBron James, there's such a tight lid on real rumors that we're all trying to pick between the scraps and get whatever we can. Hopefully this gives you a little more context of what's going on at the moment, but as I said leading off, I would anticipate more news to come in the coming days, especially draft week, when typically the NBA rumor mill really starts cranking up. And with the opt-in deadline being June 29th, which is the Friday after the draft, then next week will officially be inside of 2 weeks to that deadline. So in addition to the draft, you've got that opt-in deadline, the 29th, starting to exert a little bit of time pressure as well. So, for now, I will sign off, but one final plug, with breaking news very possible in the coming days and weeks, if you're not already subscribing to us, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, wherever you listen to your podcast, search for Locked On Rockets, subscribe to us, that's how you get our episodes right when they come out, and also leave us a 5-star review if you have not already, because that's how we can remain attractive to potential advertisers and make the business model work as the most regular podcast covering the Houston Rockets. So for now, I will sign off. As always, thanks to you guys for listening. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and we'll be talking again very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast commentary on Houston Rockets basketball.